I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics' viral tubing mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS. .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hello there. I'm your host, Shanti, and you're listening to Muses and Stuff. This is the podcast that's all about the dolls. They were the groupies, the wives, the girlfriends, and the muses who played such a huge role in rock and roll history by simply being themselves. They were sweet, sexy, brave, and powerful. They went after what and who they wanted. And they made no apologies.
Why would they?
That lovely voice that you're hearing is Andrea Holtz, back for another episode. She is a former music critic. She is a current producer, writer, actress, comedian, doll, fearless warrior.
Oh, yes. All of the above. Mostly fearless warrior.
That's right. And you may remember her, recognize her voice from the episode where we talked about male groupies.
Who doesn't love those?
That was a fun one.
It was pretty amazing.
And we're going to do another episode of Uncharted Territory because today we are going into the dark waters of the 80s and 90s.
The hair metal groupies. What?
The hair metal groupies. I'm ready. I've had some time to think about it and to process. And I read another book that I'm going to talk about on another episode about an 80s and 90s, maybe like early 2000s rock groupie. So I'll be able to tackle that soon, too.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my favorite of that era would be Bobby Brown, the Cherry Pie Gal.
Yeah, so I heard you talk about Bobby Brown. You were like, I'm going to do Bobby Brown. And I'm like, what? Is that Whitney Houston's daughter? It's like, was she a groupie?
And then No. Bobby Brown was actually, I don't know if you remember this time, but back in the days of Warrant and Motley Crue, there was an amazing video called Cherry Pie. It was fun. It was silly. And it starred the infamous Bobby Brown.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Oh, she is so cool. And her book, Dirty Rocker Boys, is to die for.
Excellent. Before we get into our Bobby Brown, it's funny because I found something that Pamela DeBar posted, and I was like, this could pretty much also be the opening for the podcast.
Oh, perfect.
And this is what she said. Always trying to set the groupie record straight has been a life goal of mine. Naughty, body, sweet and saucy, a free-spirited soul, fearless, fierce, and determined. The word is on fire.
She's not wrong. Well, she never is.
She's never wrong. Mm-hmm. Hail Pamela.
Hail Pamela.
So it was nice. I got to start my weekend off with you. It's Monday now, so we're recording on a Monday. And I started my weekend with you. We got to write together on Friday, which was...
It was very helpful, actually.
Good. Very helpful. Dolls writing and sticking together is imperative. And I went to a concert that night. I told you that I was going to see the Sam Roberts band. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we're talking about it now rather than the next day or even Sunday, because I've just been buzzing with electricity since the show and then since the march on Saturday. But I'll tell you a little bit about the concert before we get into our groupie of the week. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to talk about, because it was one of the best rock and roll shows that I've been to in a really long time.
That's great.
And, you know, when I was on the podcast, the Rock and Roll Geek Show, as a guest, the host, Michael, was asking me, or he said to me, you know, back in the day, back in my day, we saw these musicians as gods. And when I was at the Sam Roberts show on Friday, I looked around at a lot of people in the front row, and I feel like they had that same kind of feeling. You know, he is like Canadian classic as you can
rock
get.
Rock royalty.
Rock, Canadian rock royalty.
Yeah, it's almost, it really is kind of a divine experience.
Yeah, exactly. So I started listening to Sam Roberts when his first album The Inhuman Condition came out, and then we really got into him with We Were Born in a Flame. And the reason why my whole entire family got into him was because I went to a concert in Timmins, which is in Northern Ontario, if anybody's not sure, when I was 16 years old. And I was right at the front, and I think it was probably one of the first shows that I decided to go to you know, on my own with my cousins. And It was amazing. And for the longest time now, like since that album came out, I don't know, it was like around 2003, straight away he had been talking, you know, messages of community, brotherhood. Like, I remember being at that concert and singing and yelling, S-O-C-I-A-L-I-S-M, see here to stay, before I even knew what socialism meant. And so he was talking a lot about the human experience, like right then, right from the beginning. So it started off as kind of like, I'm really enjoying this. It's like, just, I like the music, I like dancing, it's groovy. And I never realized the kind of messages that he had been giving so early on that ended up being, in a way, a guide for not only me, but for my brothers, because we'd listen to every album, we were listening to them over and over again. So it brought my brothers and I together. But then those messages of, where have all the good people gone, and brother down, and all of that kind of stuff has been with me for over 10 years now.
Oh, wow. Well, that's important. If it's staying with you, then it really meant something.
Yeah. And then being at the concert with my brothers, it really was able to come around like full circle, because my brothers and I, and, you know, our whole family have been going through such a difficult thing in the last couple of years with, like, the decline of my dad's health because of his multiple sclerosis, which is degenerative. So kind of, you know, taking him away quickly and both slowly at the same time. So there was a point during the concert where my brothers and I look at each other, and when the line, and it's all right to get caught stealing back what you've lost.
Oh, yeah.
We were like almost screaming it and looking at each other, and just, it really meant a lot. So it was
quite a bonding experience, it sounds like.
it was quite a bonding experience. But then it came a time, too, where I was getting sick of my brothers, and then one of my favorite songs came on.
Well, sometimes you just gotta dance off, right?
Well, exactly. And I think, and that's why, like, Sam Roberts is great, too, because he's got all of these really deep messages if you're looking for them. And then there's just some songs about, like, going and dancing. So, which was the song that I ended up getting up to the front and dancing for, which was the song called Fixed to Ruin. And it was really nice because it was... I didn't want to push my way up to the front or anything like that, but three or four people had come back from the front of the stage and had cleared a path. And so I just went where they had left, and there was this big guy standing right at the front and kind of taking up the space of two people. And I just kind of touched him on the back and I said, "Do you mind if I stand beside you?" And he's like, "Yeah, no problem." So then I got to be at the front and enjoy that experience of dancing with the people at the front. And
it sounds amazing.
It was great. And with the whole message of, like, so that was the day of the inauguration too, right? So people were bummed. It was Friday. People were kind of like, "Oh, this is going to be a really shitty day in history, and I can't believe this is happening." But of course, you know, Sam Roberts is this great voice, and he was telling people, "We got to stick together. We got to be together as a group. We got to fight for, you know, equality, and we have to stick together." So people at the show, strangers, were literally reaching out and touching each other, and it was funny because at one point, my sister-in-law, so I was dancing with my brother sort of a little bit further back, and then all of a sudden I see a girl go up on shoulders, and I went, "Ooh, who's that?" It was my sister-in-law. Up on my brother's shoulders. So she was just she's a really good hand clapper, you know, the wavy hand clap. And I was like, "Yeah, sweet, good for her." Like,
she's got bringing a method.
She got the method, bringing the party. And then after she got down, after a little while, I was like, "Well, I want to go up." And so she was up for Detroit 67, which is off of I think the second album, and it's a really, really fun one. And then when I was up on my brother's shoulders, I was on for the song called "Roll with the Spirits," mm-hmm. and it's one of my favorite songs on the album. The album's called Terraform. The new album's called Terraform, which is actually means something like altering the environment of a celestial body in order to make it capable of supporting life forms. Yeah. So he's like talking about some
deep things.
Some things. So talking about probably about the environment, maybe aliens. Maybe Sam's talking about aliens. You know, he talks about shape shifting. I'm pretty sure he's making some Bowie references at some point. So it's good music to just like dance if you just want to dance to it. And then it's great music if you want to
dissect it and give it a closer look.
Pretty much. I mean, with the song "Roll with the Spirits," you know, he's talking about being a medicine man and a prophet and
a shaman kind of.
Yeah, thing. Freeing your mind, unlocking it, and that's it. Like, he's just talking about this a little bit more of this like higher consciousness, illumination.
Very Jim Morrison-y.
yeah, and that song too. And so I thought it was funny because I was on like the shoulders on my brother's shoulders for this song when it's, you know, "You got magic on your mind, don't you fear it." And that's what I'm, you know, that's what we've been talking about, like, every time we get together about, you know, magic being real if you're able to look beyond your five senses.
Yeah, there's all kinds of it all around you all the time.
Yeah, so if people are like, what are you talking about? Like, looking beyond your five senses, then, you know, the words like clairaudience, claircognizance, clairsentience, and clairvoyance mm-hmm. are good places to start.
Definitely.
And he's sexy as hell.
Damn right he is.
And it was just like, yeah, it was, he's just such a great performer and he's an incredible dancer. It was a hell of a concert.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to see him live, but I've heard only amazing things.
Yeah, and then the next day, so he had this like message of positivity, community, hope, which he has like he's had for so long now. Mm-hmm. And then the next day was the Women's March on Washington in Toronto, and so I was in Toronto for it, and my friend,
it happened all over the world.
Oh, it was incredible. And just to be a part of it and then to kind of practice what was being preached last night or the last night in terms of groups getting together mm-hmm. and uniting and then making change. Like I think
it is so powerful. Like so many amazing women came forward and did something for this. Ashley Judd, Madonna. It's overwhelming to think that this is just the beginning of this, because if it's happening worldwide and it was just like day one, oh God, I can only imagine where this is going to go. This is crazy, and we all need to stick together because we don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We
need to band together.
Yes. I feel very hopeful, and I believe good is coming from this. I really do. I just seeing all these women together, just standing side by side and just marching for what they believe in. That's really something. And the beautiful thing is it's not just women at these women's marches.
Mm-hmm.
There's men, there's everyone's going. It really is more powerful with love than it is with hate.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Spreading that message of love and positivity. And
I haven't heard of any like hope. Negative things happening or like, with protests in the past, you always hear about violence that took place, but there wasn't really any violence. I haven't heard anything. Have you?
Yeah, it was a demonstration, yeah, for sure.
It was amazing. It was very peaceful.
Yeah. No, I'm really happy that I got to be a part of it. But speaking of groups, the Friday night, I was out with one of my brothers went home, and then the other one I was out with, the one that I don't get to see as often. And this is towards the end of the night, so he's crushed quite a few Coors Light at this point. And he's just like, Chantel, he's like, I subscribe to your podcast, but I can't listen to my sister talk about groupies.
Hmm.
And I was like, why is that? And he's like, I can't listen. I tried, but I'm like, no, it's fine. It's okay. Like, thanks for subscribing. But like, is it because I talk about sex sometimes? And he's like, whoa, but it's kind of like, it kind of seems like a cult. And and I was like, oh, because, you know, it's a group of people. We are groupies because it's a group. And he's like, yeah, and who's that? Who's that Day Bar? Is she your leader? And
yes, she's our queen.
That's what I said. I was like, yeah, pretty much. And so I just laughed and I was like, it's okay. Like, brothers don't have to listen to their sister's podcast.
They don't have to understand. They just have to know that it's important to us.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I said to him. He was like, okay, well, sorry. no, it's okay, it's totally cool. But the funny thing is though with that is he's the one that bought me those tickets for my birthday. I went out that night because he bought the tickets to go mm-hmm. see Sam Roberts, but he loves them too, and he's kind of a harsher music critic than I am, but
fair enough.
Man, what a hell of a show.
Sounds like one.
And they're nice guys too,
I bet.
All right. So I am ready for some Bobby Brown. I'm ready for some cherry pie.
Well, Bobby Brown, I first became a fan of hers when I was about probably like 12 or 14, when my sister used to watch 80s weekends on Much Music back in the day. And I remember her cherry pie video that she did for Warrant. I wanted her outfit. I wanted to dance like her. I wanted every costume in that damn video. I thought she was amazing.
We just rewatched it before we turned the podcast
on,
too.
It is so wonderfully silly, and it's fun. The song gets stuck in your head. It's catchy. And you know what? She was just amazing. Like, I recently just read her book. It was called Dirty Rocker Boys. Well, actually, I shouldn't say read. I listened to the audiobook, and in my opinion, isn't voice a little bit more powerful? It's just sometimes, come on.
It's her voice.
It is her voice. So you get to hear the emotion. Like, you can genuinely hear when she's talking about something tough, you feel it with her. You feel like you're right there with her, and she's telling you something so important. And you feel like you're one of the girls for her, you know? And she's amazing. A couple years ago, was like on a day off from work or something, and I was just, you know, flipping through the channels, and on the Diva Network, I turned on this new amazing show called The Ex-Wives of Rock and Roll. And of course, this woman who, when I was a kid, I looked up to, she was on it. She was on it. She was starring in it. And I couldn't friggin' believe it. She is still cool. She's still sassy and amazing. And honestly, just one of the wittiest people I've ever heard.
And these women, I've never seen the show before, but they were more like 80s hair.
Yeah, it was more like, yeah, like late 80s, early 90s. Like, for example, one of them is Athena Bass, I'm sorry if I'm butchering this. She's actually Tommy Lee's sister.
Oh, okay.
And she was married to James Kotak, who is the drummer of the Scorpions. And she's super cool to watch. And then there was also Blue Dixon, who was married to Jerry Dixon from Warrant, which is how Bobby Brown knew her. And Bobby Brown was married to Janie Lane, the lead singer of Warrant. He wanted to marry the Cherry Pie Girl, and she married the Cherry Pie Boy. So it was kind of a cool little, like, 80s rock and roll love story kind of deal. But there was lots of drama. Why wouldn't there be? It's rock and roll here, you know? It's going to be crazy. And then eventually she got engaged to her high school crush, Tommy Lee.
Oh, they went to high school together.
No, I mean like her crush in high school, like posters. Oh, shit. No, it's okay, girl. She was like, she wasn't like that into the guys she was in school with. She was like, she had a rocker boy poster. She loved him off, and it was amazing. Like, you know, you grow up, you got a wall of Ashton Kutcher. You never think you're gonna marry Ashton Kutcher, you know? Mm. But which she technically didn't marry Tommy Lee, but she got so hella close.
You know who I had up on my walls?
Who?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, well, funny thing, Bobby Brown had him, which you hear in the very first chapter of her book, which you got to check out. I, hands down.
So she dated him.
I wouldn't call it dating, honey.
Okay, I get you.
She basically, he found her. She found him in a nightclub one night. He thought she was amazing because she is. And that young Leonardo DiCaprio decided to bring over a copy of TLC's Waterfalls and play at her house. And
nice move, Leo.
Yeah, I think he was like a young, like 19-year-old Leo. My God, so he was like best. little Leo, you know? Mm-hmm. And ladies, you want to hear, you got to listen to this yourself, because there's some dirty details, honey, in this book. Oh, yeah.
I'm downloading the audiobook tonight.
You want to. It is the most, honestly, the most entertaining thing I've heard in a while that I like, that's new to me. This is awesome.
Okay, great. Yeah. So she was in a music video. Is that when she started? Is that when her groupie days started? Because she had been an actress or a model before that.
She was like a model, and she was just kind of new to the scene at that time. And she had, like, she was dating, like, you know, kind of, like, lower-grade rocker boyfriends. But when she was in this video, the lead singer, Janie Lane, he actually was, like, crazy in love with her. Because she was on Star Search and stuff before this happened. If you remember the 80s, you remember how big Star Search was.
I don't remember the 80s.
Well, that's okay. Not everyone remembers the 80s. Even the people who were there don't always remember the 80s. But yeah, Star Search was huge, and she was on it, and she came in second.
And, for what?
For modeling.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And what ended up happening was apparently Janie Lane and Tommy Lee were watching that episode somewhere, and Janie Lane said, "I'm going to marry that girl." And Tommy Lee was like, "I'm going to do that girl," or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing here. You got to listen to the audiobook. But then years later, it completely happened. Who knew? Like, you never know who's, like, looking back at you. That's the beautiful thing about being a groupie.
That's right. You just gotta put yourself out there.
Yeah, you never know what's coming back.
Let your groupie light shine.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in a music video?
Me? Technically, I have. Actually, I forgot about it. But it was, like, a comedy rap band called Poetic Justice. I know, it's an odd happening, but it was back in my days when I was, like, doing stand-up regularly, and two of the guys who were in this were both stand-ups. So, yeah, they were just like, "Do you want to be in a music video?" I was like, "Sure, it's Wednesday, why not?"
It's a Wednesday. It's a perfect day to be in a music video.
Yeah, it's somewhere on YouTube.
Hmm. I was in one when I was in Peterborough. My friend in this band called Fireflower Review. He just came over and asked me to write something and to translate something in French and then to say it into a microphone. And then he made a song out of it and then he made a video of it. So Aww. It's up on YouTube somewhere. It's really cute. It's just like me in a cute jacket and him just like filming me for like on the street, like on a couple of cute streets in Peterborough. And then the second one was when I was in Halifax. There was like a 10 by 10 film festival where bands like Rain Over St. Ambrose and A.A. Wallace were paired up with an East Coast director. They each paired up with an East Coast director. Mm-hmm. And A.A. Wallace, I was in his video, and he was paired up with a director from Newfoundland. And I was in that one. A whole bunch of other people, and we were all dressed up as Aaron.
Aww.
And so, yeah, we were just, like, doing things that Aaron would do, like putting posters up and...
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
I want to see this video. You're going to have to show me after.
It was cute. I ended up... dating the director of that music video for a little while, but he was in Newfoundland and I was in Halifax. And
well, it's not that far, is it?
Apparently it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's just not expensive or something. I don't know how it works.
No, hey, it's all for the best.
Yeah, you know, you had fun. You dated a cool director, you know, it's pretty great.
All right. So moving on, Bobby Brown, where are we? Okay, so... Star Search, and then Cherry Pie?
Cherry Pie. And at that time, she was actually dating Matthew Nelson, who is actually the son of Ricky Nelson, the 1950s and 60s rock star. If you look him up, he sings things like Poor Little Fool and Someday You're Gonna Want Me to Want You. He had a real, like, Elvis-y vibe to him. His parents were in Ozzie and Harriet, so, like, he was, like, a total, like, this is a total showbiz family. They were actually, like, both Matthew Nelson and his brother Gunnar were, like, Hollywood brats, as Bobby calls them. So she was, like, with him, and it was apparently his band wasn't doing as well as Warrant was, and this one music video she did was driving him nuts because he had to watch, you know, Janie Lane with his girl getting all the views on TV and just like MTV constantly playing Cherry Pie.
It's a cute video.
It is. Cute.
I'm very with the 80s. I don't know much about them or groupies or I don't know, like.
It was a different.
And so I need to check myself when I think and I talk about them because I think I just need to educate myself a little bit more before I start making any kind of judgments. Which, hey, is almost exactly what this podcast is about, right? It's about like kind of people making quick judgments,
cleaning up the name,
you know. So maybe the way that I might see, like, you know, Motley Crue groupie is maybe how some people view. I don't know, you know, like a. Baby Buell groupie or Lori Lightning groupie of the 60s and 70s. But I think if I, you know, had to choose, obviously I think that, you know, 60s and 70s are my favorite. It was a different time. But I definitely think that it's, for me personally, in the way that I see them, a better time to be a groupie now in 2017 than maybe 1991.
Mm-hmm, definitely. I think that there was a lot more of them around, like, the late 80s, early 90s. Like, even to, yes, I'm referencing New Kids on the Block. Apparently, they couldn't, like, get into their hotel rooms without tripping over groupies. It was completely different. Apparently, like, I forget which one of them, because they all look the same to me. I'm sorry, NKOTB fans. I don't mean to offend you. But apparently, I want to say it was Jordan? Yeah, I think Jordan was saying how, like... Like, there was, like, a mother-daughter team where, like, the mother somehow got the daughter into his hotel room.
Yow.
That's a different type of groupie right there. But, like, that's determination. I don't think it went as well. Like, he didn't seem to go into it too much. But at the same time, it was, like, it was kind of a crazier time in the 80s. People were a lot more willing to try weird things.
Yeah. To do what needed to be done to
get where they wanted to be. Yeah, they were pretty ruthless, a lot of them. Like, Bobby Brown, like, she not once in this book that she wrote calls herself a groupie. But she, you know, she just happened to, you know, be in that circle, and she met, you know, the men of her dreams, and, you know, she got to be with them.
And I can see why people would not want to label themselves as a groupie. Like, I really try to see all aspects of things. Mm-hmm. And maybe when you do label yourself as a groupie, then you almost put your identity as a groupie, somebody who, like, hangs on to bands, or somebody who hangs out with bands, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Whereas...
I think we've discussed it, and it's like, it's a much broader term than Absolutely. A lot of people see it as. I think it's just like the simple, you know how like there's so many words out there that have multiple meanings. And I Yeah. think that groupie is one of those words.
And I'm really, you know, I'm really looking forward to having Jacqueline on the podcast.
Oh, she's amazing.
Because was it you or Lynx that told me, well, Jacqueline is a wonderful example of...
It might have been Lynx, but yeah. at the same time, she is not wrong about that.
Yeah, she's one of the biggest groupies of all time.
She is so passionate. She's so committed.
About a specific band that we'll let her get into when she's on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But it is loving and even kind of professional, because doesn't she do some work for them sometimes?
And she's just honestly... She loves them, and it's, like, it's innocent. Like, yeah. I would say it's an innocent love. Like, yeah. she adores this this artist, but it's, if you ask me, I think it's the most beautiful display of being a groupie. She's a total example.
And it's a spectrum.
Yeah.
And I want to respect everybody on that spectrum, regardless of what and how they go about it, as long as these decisions that they're making are theirs, and there's consent, and there's...
And it's what they want.
And it's what they wanted. The only thing that I look back, when I look at it with any kind of judgment and go, I'm glad that that wasn't me, is when I like read and hear about like the drugs.
Yeah, right? Where that's
the cocaine and that kind of stuff.
Those are some sticky situations.
And I'm just like, yeah, they were. Mm-hmm. You know what
I
mean?
My gentle terminology is sticky situation. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, yeah, but it's, I'm glad that we're getting into it a little bit.
Yeah.
They're part of the story too. And
no, oh, most definitely. Like Bobby Brown, she went through all kinds of, she went through rehab. She's been through it all, honestly. That's why she is like right now, like she's hot. She's hot shit. I love her. Yep. I think her book is so great. And she totally just, she takes the term groupie and like puts it in a different place somehow. Because she just met these normal guys in their workplace. You know what I mean? It wasn't an attempt. Like, she didn't, you know, there was no effort, really. It was more of, she was a girl who loved to dance. She loved to go, you know, listen to music and dance. That's who she was. And it's who she still to this day is. She will swear by it up and down. She loves to dance. And just somehow.
She can dance like she got no bones. I forget. I'm all alone.
That well, Shanti said it. There you go.
That was the Sam Roberts song that I left my brothers to go up to the front of the stage to
dance
to.
Well, fair enough. But yeah, she definitely was a great example. But, you know, she, like, talks about the hardship. She goes through, like, the different, like, ups and downs.
All right. So what are some of the hardships that she went through?
Tommy Lee, of course, was, you know, notoriously unfaithful. Yeah.
Did she expect him to be faithful, do you think?
She did.
Oh, okay.
And that's the thing I've been noticing as kind of a consistent thing with a lot of groupies is that they do genuinely expect a real relationship when they're with a person. Because... Mm-hmm. Bobby was pretty monogamous. Like, I don't think I remember reading that she cheated on anybody. You know, there were accusations that she was cheating, but it wasn't true.
Whereas then you had people like Angela Bowie and Bebe Buell who were in the open relationships.
Exactly. Which in a way you understand that.
So, yeah.
Like, it's kind of, you know, your dude's a rock star. What else is he going to do? Like, that's a way to look at it. And you can either embrace it and, you know, take care of you, or you can, you know, find the negativity in it and just, you know, build walls.
Yeah.
You know, and for them, that's what worked. It worked for as long as it could. And, you know, like Angela Bowie, she, you know, they're not, she obviously didn't stay with him till the end, but she stayed with him for a hell of a long time.
Through the most important years,
I think. Big ones.
The big ones. So, yeah, so she was with Tommy Lee, and after Tommy Lee and Bobby dated, he went straight to Pamela Anderson?
Yeah, well, she didn't, technically, he didn't even break up with her yet. They thought, you know, they were fighting a lot, but she didn't expect him to actually fly to an island with Pamela and get married on a friggin' beach.
And then is that when they made the sex tape?
The sex tape came out after that, but it was at the same
time.
But
it was the same time.
Yeah, and then he eventually, tried to bring her back even after the sex tape was released and, was still kind of technically married to Pamela.
Have you seen that tape?
I have not.
Do you want to watch it after?
maybe I'm curious now, but in a weird way I don't want to, because I feel the same way Bobby Brown did about it, where it's like, oh, I don't want to see that. I don't know,
I feel like I've seen clips of it somewhere. Mm-hmm. But wait, didn't Limp Bizkit have a music video where they showed, am I going nuts? I feel like I've seen bits of the tape, but on in somebody else's music video.
I feel like it was Limp Bizkit or something, because I swear it's, I remember crazy what seeing
stays
them
in your mind after all these years.
Was it Kid Rock? It definitely was not Kid Rock. No, that was Pamela's next husband. No. I am mixing up music. I am sorry.
That's okay.
Oh man, but yeah, I think it was Limp Bizkit. I remember seeing Pamela jumping into a bed with Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
Are you seeing it? What yep. I'm seeing? White yep. sheets or yes. something? And she was being all oh, I'm Pamela. And then, you know, jumping into the bed. And uh-huh, it's different. Uh-huh. Technically, Pamela Anderson is also a groupie, which I have not thought about until this very second.
Oh, totally. 100%
yeah.
She is.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I just never thought about it until this very second.
Well, there you go.
Oh, this is a moment of clarity.
That's right. Yeah. What's the connection between Bobby Brown and Bobby Brown?
Well, one night while she was out dancing at the club, Bobby Brown, the, you know, Whitney Houston's Bobby Brown.
Spelled differently. Her Bobby is spelled B-O-B-B-I-E.
Yeah.
And he's B-O-B-B-Y-E.
He danced up to her and he's like, Bobby Brown, do you want to dance with Bobby Brown? And then he asked her, is that your actual name? Were you named that? And she said, yeah, I was named after my father. And he said, well, if I'm going to ever have a daughter, I'm definitely going to name her Bobby Brown. And then bing, bang, boom, Bobby Christina Brown is in existence. So there you go. That is, he kept his word.
Bobby Christina.
Bobby Christina Brown, yeah.
How's she doing these days? Is she okay?
I'm not sure. Didn't she get into an accident? We're going to check up on the news of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't know. Something about after Whitney, but hopefully she's all right. The other woman that I'm going to be talking about.
Ooh.
What?
Bobby Christina's dead.
Oh, yeah. Was it a self-harming incident?
It looks as though she has passed.
All right.
Yeah, a little rough. A little rough to find out.
She was young, 22, I think, we read.
Yeah, poor
Bummer
thing.
Town.
But, yeah, she was named in a funny way about our groupie Bobby Brown.
About our groupie Bobby Brown. Anything else you want to say about our groupie Bobby Brown?
Other than she's a badass, awesome woman, I recommend reading her book. And I think if you want a really good reality show, I really do recommend The X-Wives of Rock and Roll.
The X-Wives of Rock and Roll. So there was Tommy Lee's sister. There was Bobby Brown. There was who else?
Blue Dixon, who was married to Jerry Dixon. He was the, I believe he was the bassist for Warrant. And then there was Charisse Neal, who was married to Vince Neal, the singer of Motley Crue.
Oh, okay. Did you ever like Motley Crue?
I was not really super huge into Motley Crue. I have to admit, I actually was more of a Warrant person than Motley Crue. I know, I've said it. Charisse Neal, though, she was actually in the Girls, Girls, Girls video by Motley Crue. So a lot of these ex-wives of rock and roll were also like video vixens.
Video vixens. Yeah. Yeah, I guess because the 80s was when the music video
It's when time they were launched. Went
kablamo.
Yeah, I think it was like 81 and then MTV was a thing. And then everyone was, you know, super into videos.
Yeah, Tom Petty was doing some cool stuff in video with videos in the 80s. He's a genius. Free Fallin'
was amazing. Love that video.
Speaking of Tom Petty, the guy from Warrant, we were watching that video together, and he's got that like long blonde hair and this sort of long face, and I was like, why am I kind of attracted to him? Like, oh, it's like he kind of looks like Tom Petty,
just a
like,
little bit.
Big mouth, long face, blonde hair. I'm in.
Yeah. Amazing voice. Apparently he could write a song like it was like nothing. He could just come up with anything, just the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Janie Lane, the lead singer of Warrant, who you're referring to.
Man, people like those guys in the 80s had the weirdest names.
I feel like I'm not sure that all of them were like actually their names.
I feel like a lot of them used. Well, in this book of Roxana Shirazi's that I just finished the other day. A lot of them have some crazy names like Dizzy and.
Oh, well, who doesn't love a name Dizzy? That's a great one.
Yeah.
But like even Marilyn Manson's band, like they, you know, each band member took, you know, the name of a famous starlet with the last name of a serial killer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, the name is just part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, when you're listening to a band or you're falling in love with a rock star, you're just kind of wanting the whole package, you know? It's like setting the right mood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Setting that 80s tone, that peroxide hair and the big back combing and the
ripped jeans, studded belts. Come on. So cool.
Tattoos
everywhere.
All right. What is the name of this book by Bobby Brown?
It is called Dirty Rocker Boys.
Right. You said that like 8 times. Okay. It's Monday. Sorry. So Dirty Rocker Boys. I'm going to, download the audiobook. Listen to a little bit about Leo. You guys can watch the Cherry Pie video. And I think, coming next week is going to be one more about the 80s. I'm going to tell you about that. So it's going to be about Roxana Shirazi, and her book is called The Last Living Slut. Ooh. Born in Iran, Bred Backstage.
Damn.
Yeah. So I'm going to have a week to sort of absorb it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be telling Lynx about that.
Oh, I'm sure Lynx will have lots to comment
on. Oh, good. I'm going to need her help.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, like if you send her the book, this woman reads like it's like I've never seen anyone so. She's just a huge bookworm. I am so jealous. She can get through any book super fast. It's crazy. She's
the sexiest bookworm I've ever met.
Very true.
All right. Where can people find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at Andrea_Holtz or on Twitter at Andrea_Holtz. Or you can watch my web series, which is called That's Why I Like Her. And you can find that on YouTube.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming back. I think that this was a really nice, gentle ease into the waters. Just like a very gentle baptism of sorts. Mm-hmm. Really bringing me into the
warmth and beauty that I think the 80s were.
Yeah. So, and then I think I'll have maybe a little bit more perspective and a little bit more to say once I listen to the book. And thank you for coming over.
Always a pleasure.
And sharing an evening with me. And let's have a nice cup of tea, shall we?
Yes, please.
Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me online at Muses and Stuff on Instagram and on Facebook. And you can find my website, musesandstuff.ptbopodcasters.ca. And you can also check out some other podcasts that we've got going on with the Peterborough Independent Podcasters if you're looking for something else to listen to. And in the meantime, my friends, take care, enjoy your week, and namaste. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, What if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.